listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch today, as you always are, Fridays, live on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, 11, Pacific Standard Time. So nice to have you with me, as always. Another great subject today we're talking about, in terms of relationships and self-help and all that good stuff. Don't want to miss this one, because guys, especially, you want to get some tips. You know what I'm talking about? Steam and many other things that go along with that, you know, anxiety and depression and issues. So one of the most common reasons I find that patients come in to see me is because they want to know how to find somebody really special in their lives, you know, as a possible life partner. I have a lot of single people, and I have a lot of couples, too, who have issues. So we kind of work through that stuff, which we're going to be talking about as well. But a lot of guys come to me in therapy, and, you know, they say, hey, doctor, what did I do wrong? I started dating this woman. We were having fun. We were going out. We were doing things together. Seemed like we were really clicking. But then after a couple of months, things sort of started to get worse. We started to kind of grow apart. Now, I really like her. So I want to find out what's going on with her without coming like a weak, coming off, you know, like a weak guy or a dork or whatever. Well, first of all, you won't come off like a dork if you're really interested in her and what she has to say. I'm just saying that. That's all I'm going to say about that. don't fear you're going to be weak. Come on, that's guy talk. Don't do that. So many times what I do is I try to help men in this position understand how the female brain works, what they're dealing with, what women, you know, really want in terms of communication and, you know, emotion. So I thought, hey, perfect time to bring on Dr. Catherine Foster, who wrote a book about this very subject. Today we're going to be talking about that book. It's What Women Want, Really. So you guys probably heard her here on the couch about a month ago. She was talking about another one of her other latest books, which is awesome, a really good book for women. But that's I can't say that quickly. Classic pocket book guide for guys. But that's basically what it is. So let's bring her up on the air live. Catherine, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Michelle. Good to be back with you.
Oh, you're great. And thanks for coming on. And I say good afternoon because you're in Central Time now. So
yes, I am. It's a little after one.
Cool. That's great. So
yes.
I just wanted to say that I love, what a clever idea for the cover of your book.
It's, oh,
you know,
thank you.
There's a guy, as you'll see, guys, when you go online and you purchase the book, you'll see there's a guy, and he looks kind of cute, actually. You can see standing up, full guy, jeans, you know, shirt, whatever, and his back is to us. And hanging out the back of his pocket is Catherine's book, because it's a pocketbook, guide for guys. Take it wherever you need to go, guys, to read, so you can, you know, get some quick information before you meet that special woman and know how to talk to her, you know.
Or if you've been married for 28 years, still do the same thing.
Oh, no kidding, Catherine.
Yeah.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. You know, learn a little bit more about how to talk to your significant other, and maybe that'll help you. Now, we're not blaming you guys. Maybe, you know, that'll help you kind of get a leg up on how to get back together. And also, this book is great for women, of course, because you're saying, yeah, Catherine, you got it, girl. You know what we're thinking about. And it's also great for couples, like you said. So
yeah.
Let's just start out and just sort of, we've given a little intro to the book and what it's about, but why did you write this book?
Well, you know, as you know, I wrote The Naked Truth About Men and Romance first, which identifies ways in which women struggle. But so what women want really is an answer to women asking, what can I do?
Yeah.
And I remember a guy, a client, sitting across from me. He was in his early 40s, and I had been talking to him about women. He said, I have friends who would give you $1 million to tell them what you've just told me about women. And this book is what I told him.
Cool.
But the other thing, Michelle, is that, you know, we have come from a long history where things were quite different. Women did a lot of sucking up to men, made their lives comfortable, etc. It's different now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
two-thirds of divorces are initiated by women. Wow. And a lot of the statistics show that women are unhappy in their relationships.
Yes.
So
yeah.
guys don't typically buy a self-help book.
Right.
So this book probably will be purchased by women, and it is written really for, I mean, it's written for guys, because like you say, it's bullet-pointed, it's concise, it's a how-to, it's about what to do, you know. But it's meant to be read by couples, because it has discussion questions the guy asks and the woman answers.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
allows a guy to get to understand a woman's self and what makes her feel cared about.
Well, that's really helpful. And you, like you said, you know, a lot of women will be buying this book and giving it to their man, saying, okay, read this.
They will,
read this.
And also,
we'll,
you know, Father's Day and birthdays and that kind of
stuff. That's it. Well, you know, honey, read the book. It's not that long. It's a pocketbook. It's like 60-some-odd pages. And we'll have we'll have a pop quiz and follow-up essays afterwards. You know what I'm saying? And then and if you still don't get it, then you can go see Catherine, and you can pay her $1 million to tell you exactly what's in the book.
$1 million. That's right.
So why not? That's the way it goes. So, you and I were, you know, just sort of talking back and forth via email, and you were saying that, as we did in our last interview about a month ago, we were defining women and men in terms of how we grew up thinking and feeling differently and all that. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, about your Naked Truth About Men and Romance book. But can you kind of touch on that again, just to give people a little taste of, you know, we're a little different when we grow up. It's not just that we like pink, purple, and want to play with Barbie dolls, which a lot of girls don't necessarily, but and guys want their Batman, you know, dolls and tanks and stuff. So how are we?
Well, when I'm talking about women, I'm referring to the greater population of females, not all females.
Oh, yeah.
But those who are hardwired and strongly motivated by empathy.
Yeah, yeah.
They get into somebody else's shoes pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Now, those women like that attached to people to discern another person's feelings. And they stay attached, pretty much. That's a style.
Yep, that is a style.
Now, I'm going to contrast that to men in a second. But if I may, let me go back to say, you know, we have sophisticated MRIs that tell us that by the time a girl's 17, her brain's transformed, and she now processes negative emotion in the cerebral cortex.
Right.
And so that causes her, this also has to do with the thickness of the bridge between her left and right hemispheres, which it's much more connected than a guy, so she spends more time over in the right brain.
So we're firing on both sides, but the right brain stands for communication and emotion and right language, stuff like that.
Okay. Right, and there's 412 different and separate emotions, so, you know, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And see, by the time she's 17, her emotions have become connected up with her highest brain, her cerebral cortex. And it makes it easy now for her to think her feelings and feel her thoughts. It's an integration. So she's different. And her identity becomes more associated with what I would like to coin thought feelings.
Right. Okay.
Now, if I can distinguish this from a guy, men often stay away from negative emotion because You know, they are afraid it will get them in trouble. They fear being reactive.
Yes.
Now, the reason they do that, there's a reason they do that.
Why is that?
And that's because the processing of negative emotion remains in their primitive brains forever.
Yes. Yes.
So they don't have the same relationship to feeling that women do.
Right, right. Do you think also a lot of guys shut it off, too, because, you know, their whole orientation is gotta fix, gotta solve? Because they're so
yes, and I know a lot of people believe that's cultural, and certainly culture has wrapped around our biology, you know, but the truth is that the mere image or the mere neurons in a man's brain cause him to want to fix something, not to talk about it. So they are wired differently, and when a couple reads what women want, really. My hope is that they both come to understand this and then can work with it. Because you can work with it.
Yeah.
It is very doable. But you have to have understanding about it. And I like to see couples read this book a couple times a year just to get back oriented, you know?
Yeah.
So let me define men.
Okay.
It refers to most men, not all, but most men, who are hardwired and strongly motivated to value and assemble systems.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay.
A system can be a pencil sharpener or it can be world economics. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
But they detach from relationships in order to observe and figure out a system.
Okay.
Now, and you remember I said that women attach to in another feeling.
Right,
it's opposite.
Exactly.
So, you know, you have a woman who says, you know, he hasn't called me for 5 days.
Oh, all the time I hear that.
Yeah, I assume the relationship is over.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But the guy is perfectly fine. He has no ill feelings. He has simply detached.
Right.
Because this is a masculine style.
Right.
To go observe and figure out whatever system he's involved with.
Exactly.
And then let me contrast that while a female by the age of 17 is going through this brain change that involves her emotions. A guy, somewhere between 9 and 15, he's been having about one cup of circulating testosterone going through his body every day.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, when adolescent hits him, he starts having not two cups, but 2 gallons a day of testosterone going through his body. Now, what this does is it changes the brain.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it livens his hypothalamus to grow 2.5 times what a girl's is going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it pushes sexual conquest to the front of his thinking.
Okay, yeah.
So today, when you survey men are 4 times more likely than a woman is to believe that sex and emotional closeness are the same thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's my short definition of men and women.
No, that's a good one, Catherine. That's awesome. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and we're speaking with Dr. Catherine Foster. She wrote a book about a really great subject. It's for guys and women as well, of course. It's called What Women Want, Really. Guys, it's a pocketbook. Put it in your pocket. Take it with you. So, you know, you can just brush up
on
these things.
But it's
brief. But it's really insightful and it'll help you out a lot. If you guys would like to respond or anything, you can sure do so. Email me today. I'd love to hear from you on Straight Talk Doc, folks. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Straight Talk Doc. And if you have any questions or comments, you know, for Catherine or myself, you know, about your relationships or why people do the things they do, guys, girls, why they do it. What's their motivation? What are they thinking? And, you know, Catherine, it's so funny because one of the most common things I am hearing from women who are single and dating, I mean, I get these calls all the time, even calls on my, oh, my God, I texted him 3 days ago and said, hey, I went out to blah, blah with my friends. What's up with you? Because they don't want to come off to, why haven't you called me? Why don't, you know, they're just sort of fishing a little bit and saying, had fun last time I saw you. What's up? And they'll respond maybe 5-6 days later, like, great. Guys will say, great.
Yeah.
Hope you're well.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, and but won't take up on the hint.
You know, it's like, and so many of these women, and I know you have this stuff too in your therapy sessions.
Yeah.
It's girls, please, how can they distinguish? Maybe this is the question. How can they distinguish between when the guy is uninterested and when he really is interested, but he's just a busy person focusing on other things?
Yeah, when he's into his systemizing, which is his natural state.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Sometimes I think it's back to that song. Mm. This is an old song. It's in his kiss.
Yeah, it's in his kiss. Yeah, I'd like to say my time, but it's not.
Mm-hmm,
that's right. No,
because a guy is not going to show interest in the same way. It's like a woman often interviews a man to get to know him.
Right.
You know, a man is more picking up on cues that are largely physical.
Right.
You know.
Right, right, right.
So he is more physically oriented.
Yeah, he is. He sure is. And now let's get into the, you know, really helping the guys out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just say he's met or started just dating a woman. You know, just kind of really into this person. He's really interested, you know, to get to know her better. Uh-huh. What would you suggest he do to get her more interested in him? And so she can say, hey, this guy's pretty cool. This guy's pretty unique.
Uh-huh.
How can he straighten things out there?
Yeah. A woman loves a man who asks her about her feelings.
Okay. Yeah.
Because women feel more strongly and more often than men do. And because, as I was explaining earlier, her selfhood, her very essence, is identified with thought feelings. And so she likes to talk. Women need to talk a lot more than men. So if a guy's on a date and he notices that he's doing this job interview thing, you know, where he's presenting a long monologue about how great he is and what he's involved with and who he is, so she can know, you know.
Yes.
He needs to back off and ask her some questions and understand that this needs to be a flow, because otherwise she's going to walk away thinking, he's got a big ego.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Right, exactly. You've heard this a lot, haven't you? You know,
the guy
just kept talking about, it's almost like he thinks he's on a job interview, and he keeps saying, well, I've done this, and I manage this thing, and I do this, and I've created this, and, you know, it's like, I drive this, or it's like, oh, really? That's a big turnoff a lot of times.
Yeah. So a woman has tremendous capacities for exploring the emotions she feels, and a guy may feel worn out and frustrated by the emotional marathon. He may want her to get to the behavior she's seeking from him. Now, this isn't particularly dating.
Yeah.
This is more in a marriage or something. So that he can then do it, because he would like to do. He would like to use his body and do something. Mm-hmm. But he has to understand that if he irritably says, tell me what you want, you know, she'll feel that he doesn't care enough to actually know her.
Yes.
You know, her real self is found in these expression of the thought feelings.
Okay.
So to do that, a guy needs to go into a different state of being. He needs to soften.
Yes.
Relax.
Yeah. Tough.
You know, he's got to untense his jaw. He's got to slow his breathing down.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to tell himself, she just wants me to know what she feels. It's okay. I don't have to do anything.
That's right. Don't have to fix her. Yeah.
Yeah. But a guy's got to know that a relationship goes dead, and maybe it takes years, but it will go dead when a woman feels her guy doesn't care enough to listen to what she feels.
Right. Right. That's what you and I hear a lot, I'm sure, in our practice. It's like he came home, he zoned on the gaming video on his phone or whatever, and or he went into the man cave with the 50-inch screen, you know, and he was didn't talk to me for like half an hour or an hour, and I'm talking about trying to explain the downtime the men need for their brains and this and that. Guys, don't text me this bad things like, not all of us are like that. I know you're not. We're just generalizing here, guys. Don't do that, side note. But anyway,
because there are guys who have a different type of brain than what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just they're not in the majority.
Yeah.
And you know, Dr. Michelle, it has been gratifying for me to hear from guys who read The Naked Truth About Men and Romance, mm-hmm. and finally found why they're so different than other men.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It really helped them.
So yeah. That's in there, too.
And by the way, guys, we're going to be telling you how you can get a hold of all of Catherine's books, The Naked Truth About Men and Romance and What Women Want, Really, and your other books you've written, which are very insightful, too.
Good.
We can talk about those in a little bit as well, because just helping people along, and also your memoirs, fascinating uh-huh. stuff as a psychologist. That's what a great book that was. Get into my brain. You're not going to believe this, guys, but it's really good. They're all good. So we're talking. Sure, we're talking about how difficult it is, and for guys sometimes. So you guys have to soften, breathe a little bit, and there really are a lot of body language things they have to do as well. Like you said, loosen your jaw, loosen it up a little bit. You're not on the hunt. Mm-hmm. You're not on mm-hmm. the defense. Mm-hmm. You chill out. You don't have to fix
her. One of the toughest stuff is for guys to make eye contact. And yet we know from research that women don't really trust somebody who doesn't make eye contact with them.
Yeah.
Yes. And so it really does help if a guy can do that, because a woman isn't likely to start a romance with a guy who doesn't look her in the eye.
Yes, exactly. There are a guy who's looking around the room. We always, because he's uncomfortable, but we will interpret that many times as always checking out other women. It's like.
Or he's shifty.
Shifty.
Or other women. Yes.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's difficult for a guy because of the way they're really wired to sort of understand that you have to just sort of put it out there and become a little more relaxed and ask a woman about her feelings or, get her to talk about herself because talking about body language, too, I know you agree with me on this, is act really genuine. Don't be doing, uh-huh, really? Oh, I have to ask
Slow
her about
down
herself.
Those responses.
Yeah.
And lean in toward her a
there
little bit.
There you go.
Yeah.
And there you go. That is so important to do. Lean uh-huh. in, show you're interested, do eye contact, all those things. And really try to mean it, especially if you're really interested in someone. Because we do, as women, pick up a lot of and interpret signals that you're really not, or you just want to, get laid. Sorry, mm-hmm. guys, that's mm-hmm. the real deal,
And, yeah. Another thing I want to say about all this kind of in general is the book, the reason I called it a pocketbook is because, and a guide, is because What Women Want really appeals to the fact that guys like to win, W-I-N.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because their testosterone goes up and then their dopamine goes up, which makes them happy when they do win.
Yes.
So that book is all about how to win. Mm-hmm. If you just take on certain skills, then if you just memorize those certain skills and take them on and use them, you will win.
Yeah.
And it will reap gigantic rewards.
So let's talk about some of those specific skills. Emotion, listening, body language. What are some of the other specific skills do men need to be more successful with women?
They need to ask open-ended questions because it will give her a chance to share more deeply. Mm-hmm. And the definition of open-ended is when you can't answer it with a yes or a no or a couple words. You got to talk more.
Right.
So saying, what did you decide to do? Mm-hmm. Or how do you feel about that? Yeah. Or what were your impressions of him? Or,
Yes, right.
That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Avoid the closed-end questions like, are you okay? Or did you like that?
Right.
Because they just cut off dialogue, really.
Right. Okay.
They don't do enough.
Yeah, that doesn't do enough.
You want to be a dialogue extender with a woman.
Yes, exactly. And use those tools as well, that you really are truly interested, if you are.
And be careful about questions that begin with a why, because they tend to arouse defensiveness. Like, why did you do that? You don't want to do that. You want to get more into what or how,
Exactly. Do you think, when people are first meeting, too, and, have some dating advice and information in your book, What Women Want, Really, do you think it's good to talk about your exes, let's say in the first couple of dates? Do you think that's a good thing? Or I don't know.
You know, I think it depends. I think if people have honest disclosures about what they've been through, not blaming the spouse, but just what their life experience was like,
mm-hmm.
in that, if they can present it in that way, you know, and also talk about what they learned or how it's shaped them or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that can be useful.
Yes.
In fact, it can often be the fuel bring on another a new relationship because it allows for disclosures.
Right.
And we know that women, you know, form friendships by making disclosures. So if he and she are doing that on a date, they might find greater closeness. Now, I don't think it's useful to present how horrible your ex was in a blaming kind of fashion, you know, but just more of a truthful.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. That's kind of a turnoff, isn't it, sometimes for people, you know, when you say, well, my ex was such a jerk because they, I mean,
well,
in a way, that, you're,
yeah,
exactly.
That can just wreck it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because you don't want the other person to start thinking, maybe this is a drama
exactly.
queen.
You know? Yes, pretty
maybe
soon they're going to be doing that about me.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of pushes guys away.
You know, and another thing is if a guy can use some psychological and emotional terms with a woman. Like, start a sentence by saying, I feel, even if it's, I feel out of sorts today, or my mood's been down since last night. A lot of guys, you know, are they don't want to appear weak, so they don't want to say
that's
stuff
right.
like that. But, but a woman experiences that differently, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes her feel that you're moving toward her and you want an emotional closeness. And you got to remember that, you know, emotional closeness is really tantamount for a woman to sexual closeness is for a man. So, you know, for her, she wants to be sexual when she feels emotionally close.
Right.
And you feel emotionally close mostly. I mean, there's some other ways, you know, but mostly through dialogue.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's the biggie.
And if he can express some intimate feelings, like, I feel so content when I'm with you.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
I feel like I connect with your soul when we talk like this.
Yeah.
Just something like that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's really cool. I love that because you're going to hit on those communication. You're going to light up those parts in the women's brains that we see in the fMRIs that are going to, you know.
Yeah.
Emotion
and
talk.
And you know, granted, women have a lot of special rules that men don't know about.
Yeah.
And one of them is, and this is secret, you know, every woman knows this, but she may not be able to verbalize it, but that is that if she asks a question, she expects that you'll return the gesture and ask the same question of her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, but if you're on a date and the woman asks a question and the man sees the question as something that he needs to check off a list, like he needs to get it done and then it's completed. No. She's trying to establish a back and forth flow of dialogue.
Yeah.
To establish an ongoing conversation that will result in feeling closer.
Yes. Yeah.
So
exactly.
he's got to be up for that. So you know, women often out of politeness will kind of accommodate men.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
believing they want to talk about themselves. You know?
Right,
but
right.
he's got to learn to ask it back.
Yes, exactly.
He's got to ask the question back. If she says, how was your day at work? He's got to say, tell me about your day.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Then we have something going on.
There you go, exactly. Guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my special guest today, she's been on the show before and she will be on the show again. She's an expert, Dr. Catherine Foster. We're talking about her latest book today. It's called What Women Want Really. And about a month ago, we talked about her other book, The Naked Truth About Men and Romance. So she's the expert here. And this is very insightful. It's a pocketbook, you know, for men and women, really, guys. It's going to help you sharpen up a little bit to understand women a little bit better if you want to get into some relationships or continue your ongoing long-term relationship and make it a little better. You're wondering why you're sort of growing apart and all that. I ask you guys if you'd like to, you know, email me some questions that you might have for Catherine or myself at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And we did receive one really Great email. I mean, they're all great, guys. Thank you. There's one that came in that's kind of detailed from Lauren, and it's really kind of nails exactly what you and I were just talking about. So I thought I'd throw this in the mix. Shall we give it a go, Catherine? She says, I've been dating a guy for 3 months. We hit it off immediately, and I held off having sex with him until about 2 weeks ago. All right. Since then, he has pushed to have sex every weekend that we go out to. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, anyway, I'm trying to translate it here. Sorry about that, Lauren. She says, now, after we became intimate, we don't go out at all. He just wants to hang out at my place or his. We never go out to eat, movies, or go out and have fun together anymore. He's also texting me a lot less. Has he lost interest since I had sex with him? What do you think is going on?
Yeah, and you know, he might just be doing what he thinks is love, which is you hang out and then you have sex. You know, it may not mean a thing,
right?
But I think she's got to stand up and say, I feel so romantic toward you when we go out to dinner together. I feel that way when you text me. Because, see, he's not going to know. But if you word it that way, not as a complaint, but as what he can do to be a winner.
Yes.
Then he can respond to that. You know, guys, you know, they're not malevolent. They just don't know what it is that works for you. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so I would tell him that way.
Yeah. I would, too. And we can come off without, you know, coming off like we're nagging or, you know, there's certain language that you can use.
I think I feel so romantic.
Yeah.
I feel, and if that doesn't work, then say, I feel like being sexual with you when we have gone out to dinner together or whatever.
Yeah. Because we spend
then
time.
It communicates.
Yes, exactly. We're communicating, and I get turned on more by, you know, just I get close to you by communicating with you and feeling those romantic, you know, feelings. And guys and girls are different, and I understand that. But you know, and maybe he'll go, okay.
Well, you know, you have to remember testosterone, which absolutely commandeers a man's brain.
You know,
causes him to want to be efficient in his thinking, to be bottom line. So to have sex with her is bottom line. It goes right to what makes him feel connected.
Right.
Now, he doesn't know that it's not the same for her.
No, exactly. He needs to be.
He doesn't know it.
Yeah. We need to educate them. And, you know, sorry, guys, I'm not talking about you like third person. Like, we were not doing that. But this book will, you know, What Women Want really will kind of help you understand those things. And it really will. So think about that. So we talked about, you know, the guys who have to learn a little bit more about communicating and where we're coming from is you know, women. So I just want to pinpoint some of the things or what type of man that women do really want. Who do they want to fall in love with that they can count on to have these long-term sort of vibes going on?
And build a history with.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it's believed that women don't fall in love with a man unless he reveals his need for her. Now, his strength makes her initially interested. His confidence and what he can accomplish in the world does attract her. But his revealing his vulnerabilities at some point cause her to commit and to commit again. And I like to just use the metaphor of a penis.
Okay.
Sometimes a penis is hard, ready for action, assertive, and sometimes it is soft and vulnerable and empty. And so is a guy's psyche. And he has to embrace that he's changeable, and that's okay. It's especially okay with a woman. Now, I don't mean being a whiny baby is okay. That's not okay with anybody. A woman won't be happy unless he shows her everything. She can be attracted to him if he's strong, but she can't fall in love unless he, you know, gets honest, gets genuine, gets vulnerable, because that appeals to a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it really does. No, it's really, it's so important. you know,
a note to the silent type of guy. He's got to do a little stretching.
Yeah.
And say more than fine when a woman who's seeking connection asks him about his day or something.
Yeah.
He's got to try to disclose more personal information, even if he has to think about this, you know, in advance, and try to use more tones of voice to express a broader emotional range. You know, try to avoid sounding monotone. And
yes.
Talk about your plans, talk about your dreams, your feelings,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
your opinions.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Another email here quickly, and it's exactly, it's perfect. But it's funny because, you know, people listen to some of the keywords and cues that we put out
there. Sure.
Melissa says here, kind of just jumped out at me, speaking about penis. She said, the second time me and my new boyfriend had sex, he lost his erection right in the middle of our passion. Was it me? What's going on? It was a perfect night, and I can't understand why he lost this erection, and is he not interested in me anymore?
Well, it's almost certainly not her.
Yeah. Yeah,
almost certainly.
Absolutely,
you know, because that doesn't make sense.
No.
2 minutes prior, he was very attracted, and
right.
then something happened.
Right.
But honestly, you know, guys are facing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Our environment, the air pollution, creates greater estrogen in our bodies, and that doesn't help a man's chemical makeup. You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
There are more and more guys that are going in for help with Viagra and Cialis at younger ages.
Oh yeah. There sure are.
And thank goodness we have that help.
Right, exactly. Thank goodness. And also that, you know, they can feel better about themselves and all, and I understand. But I, you know, I also think, you know, there really is a lot. What we have to understand is, and you point this out in your The Naked Truth About Men book we talked about a month ago, is, you know, there really, there's so much going on. Sometimes this is general terms again, guys. This is not everybody, but many times in man brain, they're thinking, or they've got so much going on in their brain that it may even overcome that testosterone
that started the sexual act.
Yeah,
you know that's true. And the other thing is, if a guy ever had a erection failure in the past, and he focuses on that, and then he with a new woman, he's really worried that that's going to happen. And sure enough, you know,
it's
prophetic. You know?
It is. It's like the more they worry about it, then they're going to not have it because they're worrying about it. And then, you know, it's just scary for them, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what she should do, if that occurs again, you know, understand he may be quite embarrassed.
Oh, of
and
course.
And so she will have to put forth some... Some more interest in him so that he knows it's all okay. But then during the sexual act, she will have to provide more stimulation to him.
Right.
So that he can get going again.
Yeah. And if he can't, you know, I would say too, you know, be loving and understanding and saying, hey, you know what? It's not always going to be there and it's cool. It's not, I'm not going to take this personally, of course. Don't worry about it. And please don't be embarrassed. This happens a lot with, you know, guys have stuff on their minds and this and that, and don't even. And I think sometimes, as much as we say that to them, guys are still going to say, "Oh God, I failed." You know, I failed.
It's a tough one.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. You know,
yeah.
But a woman can also say, "You know, I know it must be hard to be a guy because, like, for a woman, it's more receptive. You don't have to perform. You know, you don't have to worry about that." And I can imagine being a guy. It's tough.
No, it really is, you know, so I would think, I just, from, you know, all the stuff you and I've heard in our sessions.
Yes.
And there is a lot of pressure. And again, a lot of it's the brain, part of the brains that are firing up at the time, you know, so we really do have to understand a little bit more, because in this young adult world that I'm working with in therapy, you know, there's this thing in every, you know, place in the world here, but it's the old, he likes to hit him and quit him, you know? Oh, he's a dog. He likes to, you know, and I think a lot of women embrace this fear because they hear from their girlfriends or we gossip, and it's like, well, maybe he's not like that. Maybe he really is trying to reach out to you and establish a relationship, but maybe he just has to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, and you know, something that our culture needs in general, I think, is a little bit more patience with the beginning of romances, because they're fragile.
Yeah.
And it takes time to work things out and work out the sexual compatibility and the whole thing, you know. It just takes time. It takes communication. And
it really does.
You know, it's not instant. It's just not a McDonald's kind of thing.
And that's right, you know, and I love it. That's right. Yeah. And the online thing is very difficult because you do have to sort of filter through people and sort of get a vibe for people who have common interests. And then you meet at the famous Starbucks, you know, clatch, the coffee clatch, as we call it. And then you just sort of see what's up. But I think we are so critical these days because we're so, we have our defense mechanisms are so keenly attuned, you know. Uh-oh, he mentioned whatever, going out with the guys. He mentioned the sports bar.
That's not good.
Uh-oh.
When actually he needs to do that.
Yeah,
sure,
he does. You know, absolutely.
That's a good thing.
Right. But and all those little antennas we have, you know, that...
I know.
It's like, you're right, Catherine. You're so right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you think about what it used to be, you know, people would meet one or two eligible men and they'd marry one of them and be married forever and that was it. There was no questions, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Now we can meet, you know, we can get dates with five guys on a weekend, through the online stuff. So it allows us to be so critical.
It really
and
does.
We've never before, Dr. Michelle, I don't believe we've ever before really had to face the male-female differences in the way that we are now.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we've got to be educated. I think we have to know how to work with it. I think we need help.
Yep. I do too. And in both of your books, you know, you do really help men and women understand each other. And today we're talking about your book. It's called What Women Want Really. It's a classic pocketbook guide for guys. You know, it's just everything you need to know to be smart about women, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
men.
Understand. And vice versa. You know, we also talked about her earlier book, The Naked Truth About Men and Romance. You came on, I guess it was just about a month ago. You know, to help women understand men better and the way their brains are working and firing.
Yeah.
So there's a reason for our differences.
A lot of women, I think, need some empathy, truly, about what they experience. They come into a marriage having fallen in love with someone.
Sure.
And then it's not the way they thought it would be.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
On an emotional level, on a relational level, you know, and so there can be a lot of suffering.
Oh, there sure can, Catherine. Mm. So something a little more difficult too is couples, you know, you see couples, I see couples working through conflicts. How are the genders different in their approach? You know, we're sitting there with them on the couch and someone's saying one thing and that you're going, huh? Right?
Yeah. I really think that men and women are quite different in this area. Yeah. For one thing, we know that men have a biological disadvantage when it comes to resolving conflicts, whether he brings something up or she does. His blood pressure tends to rise and he feels flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's fine. Yep. She doesn't have a problem with that. She believes... and this has a lot to do with the way that her childhood went. She had a lot of close relationship with other girls where the focus of everything was on the relationship. So she did more of that kind of thing. She got used to it. But the other thing is that her blood pressure stays fine until he shuts off, and then hers shoots up.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we've got a mess. But truly, guys do need to say, I need 30 minutes alone, and then I will be better able to talk. Now, 30 minutes is kind of a marker. That's what it takes a lot of people. It may take you more or less, but guys really need to say that, because if you are going into fight or flight system, you know, and you're the part of your brain that has to do with creative answers and coping and being patient and stuff like that, if that goes offline, and you're more in your primitive brain, you're going to say something stupid.
Right. No,
now, a woman will be much better with a guy saying, you know, honey, I just need 30 minutes alone and let me come back.
Yeah.
You know, if he says, I can't do this,
Yeah, which is common.
Very.
Which is what I hear. Yeah, it's just kind of, that's kind of, and it's, guys, we're not putting you down, but that's just kind of not the way to say it.
Yeah, and then later, after he's taken the break and he knows that he's into his problem solving part of his brain, it would so help if he would say things like, "I really want to make this right for you,"
mm-hmm.
or "What can I do to make this better?"
Mm-hmm.
Or "Tell me what you're feeling," and then after she talks, say, "What else are you feeling?"
Yeah.
Because if
she's
heard, if she's upset, but she gets heard, and she knows she's understood, then she'll be much better. She doesn't even have to have stuff her way.
Right.
She just needs to be understood.
No, that's right. And men need to understand that. We need to be understood, and vice versa. We're not, guys, again, we're not putting you down. We're giving you kudos for your testosterone here. We're saying we understand.
Well, men have built our world.
Yes.
I mean,
that's
if
right.
I look out my office window here,
yeah.
I see from roads to buildings to electrical lights to everything. You know, men have built our world.
Yeah.
And it's because they're systemizers. They focus in and they're going to make something work.
Right.
Now, if they can start, and I believe they must because of the way the divorce rate is, if men can apply this to relationships, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, they can
absolutely
win there too.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And, you know, I want to share this.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful quote from D.H. Lawrence.
Okay.
He says, "The greatest living experience for every man is his adventure into the woman.
Mm.
The man embraces in the woman all that is not himself.
Mm.
And from that one resultant, from that embrace, comes every new action."
Wow.
There's something about the energy of a man and the energy of a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That changes both.
Yes. Yes.
And for guys, it empowers them to go out and be what they need to be to reach their potential.
I agree.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. Thanks for sharing that quote. That is
that's
lovely.
It's worth striving for.
Yeah, it is. Sure is. Well, we're running out of time, as we always do, so quickly with you here on the air, because you're terrific and it's fun
and
informative and all that stuff. So what is the best way that listeners can find out more about you, Catherine, and your books, many of your books, particularly the two that we've talked about on the show here, What Women Want Really, and The Naked Truth About Men and Romance?
They can always go to Amazon and just put the title in, and I'll be there.
Cool.
Then, of course, you can go to my website, which is www.catherine. Mm-hmm. And Catherine is K-A-T-H-R-Y-N.
Right.
There's lots of ways to spell Catherine.
Yeah.
But CatherineFosterPhD.com.
Great.
And if you go on the website and you click on books, it'll take you to the 5 books.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and they're all really good and written well. And I thank you so much for sharing with us today about one of your
good
other
to be
latest
on again.
Books. Oh, we'll have you on again soon.
Okay.
There's another book that we haven't covered that I really want to talk about too.
Yeah, I think so too. I was thinking about that. That'd be good.
Cool. A wealth of information. All right,
yeah.
Catherine. Take good care, and thanks again for being such an awesome guest.
Thank you.
All righty.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Again, guys, Catherine Foster, she's a doctor. She's a psychologist and MFT, and she knows what she's talking about. Her books are great. We'll help you out with your relationships. Okay, Dr. Michelle Cohen here, and I'm so glad you joined me on the couch today. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week. Oh, all right. We're going to talk about getting your act together within yourself so you can be better for other people, and that's so cool. Because that's what I always say at the end of the show. It works out great. Do take care of yourself first. Then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works. All right, guys, have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. The show will be up in the archives tomorrow. You can listen to the rerun, download, replay. And all of my shows are available on iTunes. Yeah, I've got a podcast. It's free. Go for it. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Have a good one. Bye.
Got you on my mind. Tonight, seeing flashing red.